D-M-K-K-I-G-M.
Shows for
myself back in time.
Did you get that
word? Yeah. So. I'm right back to you. Yeah. Everything I see reminds me of you. When I left me there, I bit off more than I could chew.
So we'll start with your origin story. Like, are you, Chicago born and high school? And then we'll get into how you got to the house. Like, if there's a church story or a family member or whatever it was. Hear that?
Well, I got interesting
story. All right.
You're ready to come to that. Yes.
I'm gonna go ahead and phase it out before it starts, and then we'll add you to the stream after I introduce you, and then you'll be good to go. All right. Welcome to this episode of the Vintage House Show with your main man, Mega, getting started a little later than normal, like about 15 minutes late here. Apologies to all those who were anticipating that 10 o'clock start time, but we missed it this time around. But it's going to be all well worth it because in studio with me is our special guest tonight. She was on time. I just want to say that clearly, but closing out Women's History Month 2023 on the Vintage House Show, ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome to the show the one and only Miss Daje.
Hi.
Hey, Daje. How are you?
I am fabulous.
I am I would agree with you. You are fabulous in your presence here tonight and, of course, your wonderful career and impact on house music. So let's get into it since I already have lost 15 minutes of time, but we're going to get it all back with an exciting dialogue with Daje, and I'm just appreciative that you joined us here in studio. For this special episode. Tell us, who is Daje and what is your story as it relates to Chicago and growing up in this city?
Wow. Well, I am from the south side of Chicago. I'm from Inglewood, born and raised. I call myself an Inglewoodian. Back in the day, it was really, really a nice place to live, but now it's a little rough around the edges, but I'm still there. When it comes to music, it's in my DNA. My dad was a professional doo-wopper. Okay, he was actually one of the first to be on the Ed Sullivan Show. He beat the Dales out and the Shylights out, and he knew all of those guys. And they would always say, "Hey, do your kid have the gift? Got the gift?" And I had the gift. And from there, I've been singing. I've been singing since I came out the womb. That's what they tell me. I'm serious. That my mom and dad said when I was like maybe 9 months, I was singing My Girl, note for note, pitch for pitch, on cue. But that's not, I like when it comes to really wanting to sing, I think it was the Jackson 5 that really, really group-wise, I wanted to sing. And they would never let me sing because we had a group. And they would never let me sing lead. So I would go home and I would practice and I would practice and I would practice, but they never would let me sing lead. So I quit the group. I quit the group. And I think the bug hit me when I was in high school. I went to Harper High for 2 years. Then I went to Elgin High School for 2 years. I lived in Elgin. And the bug hit me. I took acting classes. And from there, it was like, we need a singing act. That's what the teacher said. And I'm like, okay, we'll do something singable. And I sang Home from The Wiz. And he had that look like, you're the opening act. And it just freaked me out. I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool. And then I did that. And actually was the custodian when we were performing our skits and stuff. He had this look of like stardom in his eyes. He glowed. He seemed like he was glowing to me. I was like, oh my goodness, I want to sing. And when I said, I told my mom, I said, Mom, I want to sing. She said, okay. Because she heard me sing all my life, period. Every day. I was an introvert. I liked staying in the house. I was totally opposite from my brother and sister. I wanted to stay in with my mom. And my favorite top five of all time female singers, in this order, it is Aretha Franklin, Chaka Khan, Tina Marie, Natalie Cole, Gladys Knight. And I know everyone always say, well, Whitney's in the top 10. She's in there. But those are my top five of all time. And I gotta, of course, acknowledge one of the queen of house. And that is Lolita Holloway. Lolita Holloway is amazing. Oh my goodness. I really wasn't into house music. In the 80s, I knew of house music. Who, you from Chicago, you got to know something about house music.
Yes.
Well, I was total opposite because I thought I was all that. You know, Whitney Houston wrapped up in Janet Jackson because I'm light on my feet. Because back in the day, too, I was a heavy girl. I was real big, so I was kind of shy. But in a sense, when I got that mic, whole nother story. I could do what I had to do. So
I want to interrupt you for a moment here because you went there in terms of musical influences already. I was going to ask that question, but you ran it down for us. Give us that list again from
top five. Aretha Franklin.
Yes.
Chaka Khan, Tina Marie, Natalie Cole, Gladys Knight. Those are my favorite five of all time. And actually, I was just gifted. What I did was I went to a Lutheran church.
Yes.
Okay. I learned some of my goodness and kindness and all this from the minister. But we had a terrible choir. We were it was literally like that. So I would go home and listen to Aretha Franklin, her technique and how she did her breathing and where the notes came in at. And like I said, it was natural. So that's how I ended up learning how to sing, listening to those five.
Well, what's incredible about that is with those particular five influences, there is still such a unique and powerful voice that is Daje that has resulted from those influences.
All five of them had something that I took from. So that's why. You know,
And so, of course, I was going to ask that question about where church played a role. In
I'm jumping the gun. I am so sorry.
No, it's all good.
You know, tell my story. I'm telling. Yeah. Like I said, it's in my DNA. My, oh, if I got back to my dad, he knew the Shylights, the Dills. He knew all the doo-wops of Chicago and fame and everything, but he was with the group called The Rays. Silhouette on the Silhouette. He was on the Ed Sullivan Show. Anybody know anything about the Ed Sullivan Show?
Of course.
Back in the day, that was big news back in the day to be on that show. So he was one of the first to go on there, but he stopped singing. And then it just, you know, started taking care of us. And later on, he's passed on. He died in 2012. But he went back to singing again. And Harvey Fuqua in the Moonglows. Anybody else? Sincerely, oh, you know I love you. Stuff like that. My dad could just blow it out the water. One particular time, Harvey, he's passed on too. He said, hey, man, could you sing Lee? My dad said, nope. You're the main man. You're the one that wrote all the songs. You're the one that sang the songs. So I can't perform the songs. You have to. That's how good my dad was. And he was in his 60s when he started back singing. 65, 68, 69.
And that moment that he returned, where were you in your journey?
I was singing house music. Yes, I was singing house music. As a matter of fact, how I ended up, like I said, I told my mom I want to sing. She said, okay. So I would go and try out for different bands. I ended up on the west side the majority of the time because a lot of bands on the south side was, you know, pretty much like Smoke City and Magnum Force. They were already together. So I went on the west side. And the first group I was with was called Neutral Force. I'll never forget it. And Boss Larry was the name of the club that we used to kick it in. And they didn't even want me in their group. You know that? I was like, because I was a heavyset girl, you know. I don't know why back in the day it was always about the look and with me being heavy. They didn't think about the singing aspect of it all. It was all about how it looked. And still to this day, but our Lizzo and a couple of more girls out here that's heavyset, thank you. Thank you. I'm not big anymore, but that's okay. Kelly Price, think about it. Kelly Price did that song with Puffy, and they had her on the screen. They didn't want to show her body. I don't know what they want. I can't think of the name of the song, but that's the part she was singing. So I was like, wow, you know, it's messed up. You know, they body shamed back in the day. But like I said, nowadays, these young women don't care. I see some stuff. I'd be like, girl, you need to go back in the house. In my mind.
So last week, in fact, we had a discussion about women in house music, and a lot of what you were just sharing was part of that discussion, the fact that the music industry, for a variety of reasons, including body shaming, omitted these incredible vocalists, not necessarily from the recordings, but from the live performances and the music videos.
Martha Wash.
That was the case study we focused on. And yeah. And again, we're here to counter those narratives. The change has come, but we're not there yet. There's still a lot of work to be done. Now, I can remember a lot of work that we did together in putting you out in front, because you were creating some incredible and now iconic songs. How was your journey once you got into house music? The performances give you the revenue, the recordings. If you co-write, you get some money and earnings and residuals. But talk about whether or not you were able to make a living as a musician when you first entered into the profession.
It was really weird. Actually, how I got introduced into singing house was Wayne Williams. I used to sing background at Jive Records. I've done stuff for, Mr. Lee, R. Kelly, Ruby Turner, Will Smith, sang background on their stuff. They introduced me to Hoolin Fingers. At the time, was doing a lot of production for Jive Records. I think they had a contract with them. But they also had Clubhouse Records. And they introduced me to Curtis Jones, a.k.a. Cashmere, a.k.a. Yeah. Green Velvet. And we met in 88 and we did a couple of songs and kind of faded away. And then it's funny because at that time it was like, okay, I'm almost 30. I really need to get it together. It's time to stop the singing madness. But, you know, a higher power was like, you're going to sing.
Preach. You know,
and it's so funny because I always wanted to be in a band with people. You know, I didn't want to be alone because the body shame. It was like, you know, I was good at what I did. I could dance. Ooh, you talk about dance, harmonize, no problem. None of that. But I didn't want to be alone. But in the end, my name is Karen Gordon. And we were in the studio when we did Brighter Days. And he said, I said, I want to change my name because my mom had this really cool ring. It was a D, gold with red rubies and diamonds. I just love this ring. And I said, well, let's change my name to Daisy. Because Karen, you had Karen White, Karen Anderson. You had a lot of Karens out there. And it was like, okay. He said, I said, what about Deja? Nah, he said, what about Daje? I said, oh, yeah, that stuck. That really stuck. Daje, I like that.
Who was it exactly that?
Curtis.
Curtis.
Cashmere.
Curtis.
I always call him Cash Cashmere.
Yeah.
Cash. We still together, y'all. We still together.
Awesome.
We broke up. But we still together.
Okay.
As my brother. Okay. Don't get it twisted. Yeah. He's married. I love that man.
Yeah.
And his wife. Beautiful people. Period. But I changed my name and I would go. We would go to places. The first show I remember doing was in Baltimore. And we had 10 cities, Ultra, Latte, and the Basement Boys. I was like, oh my God.
Epic
house
show.
Royalty. And you know they tore it down, right? The Paradox. They tore it down. Of course, for housing, new construction, condominiums and stuff. But it just freaked me out because I was like, oh, my God, I'm in royalty. What am I going to do? And I'm saying to myself, all these years you've been performing. This is Cashmere, first time performer too. Now it's time for the percolator. And let me be. And I get up there and I'm just jamming and doing my thing. He said, we ought to do shows together. I said, I told you to come see me perform. You never did want to come hear me or see me perform. So now you know. I can sing, and then from there, the rest is history.
I love it. I love it. In the era when you were doing backgrounds for some of the Jive projects over on 700 North Green Street, there was a studio.
No, it was 18th and Halsted.
Oh, you were at the 18th and Halsted?
Yeah, I was down there.
All right.
Oh, yeah, well, you had to ride the freight elevator.
In Pilsen,
you were scared.
Yeah.
You were scared it was going to get stuck. I never forget Dana Stavall, who actually wrote Brighter Days with Curtis. She got stuck in there. She was like, help me, somebody help. She was like, Dana, they said she was crying like a cat.
Dana, friend of the Vintage House Show. Now we have a story we hadn't necessarily heard on the show. Thanks, Daje, for sharing that one. But she was my schoolmate. We went to school together.
Beautiful people.
She is, along with Hula and Fingers and the Clubhouse family, and Curtis Jones. Those are all great people continuing to contribute to this thing called house music. You said you two are still, or at least back together. What does that mean exactly?
Well,
does that mean you're working on something?
Yes, we
in
are
the
working
lab?
On some stuff. I told him we need to do some stuff that's casual related, not relief related. Don't get it twisted. I love some tech house. Tech house is off the chain, okay? Matter of fact, I just came from Miami with Green Velvet, okay? Velvet was off. Woo! I love this man. It shows. I mean, it's just La La Land event. This is one of his events. He had a big song called La La Land. And, wow, these shows are, like, amazing. It's just, wow. It's like, whoa. But, yes, we still do music together. Yes, we do. As a matter of fact, 30 years, Mark Lyles did a remix of Brighter Days that was really, really good, too. You know, as well as, we haven't did You Got Me Up yet, but Is It All Over My Face? Those two have, 30 years as far as Daje's been about. And you know what about me, too? I can walk the streets. No, I can walk up to the door. Nobody know what I look like to this day. But when I open my mouth, it's like, that's the lady that made that song. Yeah, I'm old school, baby. Old school. Vintage.
Well, we weren't making a lot of music videos for house records back in the day.
That's so true. You know, maybe one or two here or there. That's it.
And so that visual art form is certainly one that helps create the imagery and the recognition. And without it, I think that's part and partial to house music's current and even the past state, right, of it being more of an underground and club genre. It's dance music, so yes, the clubs and the festivals are where you enjoy it. But what are your thoughts about that lack of music videos?
Music have evolved so much, they put even some of the circular music as house music, and it's not. It's like, okay, everybody gets to the point now. It's not like, you know, you make a beat, anybody can make a beat. And it's, you can put it on YouTube or whatever, and you never know, you might become really big at it, you know? So to me, house music has evolved so much. It really has. You have so many different genres. That's why it's good that you have a vintage show to show people that this is what where it started, you know, with the Frankie Knuckles and the Ron Hardys, you know. This is how we got down back in the day with the Gene Hunts and the Farley. You know, this is how we was doing things, you know, back in the day. For now, like I said, anybody can create a beat.
And technology has certainly enabled, and lowered the barriers for other people to not only create beats, but to mix and, you know, sync buttons and all of those things.
I would love to see someone that, you know, use the little things now.
Those controllers, the DJ control.
Yes. Get on some turntables. I would love to see what you can do there.
It's a whole different craft. Analog versus digital. Dajay, that's a whole nother show. Yeah, right here.
I love that because a lot of young people just, you know, could just press a button and then it'd blend in for you. You couldn't do that back in the day. You had to be on point. You had to know what you were doing. You know? They went from record to cassettes to CDs to USBs.
Oh, you forgot about reel to reel.
Oh,
Ron and them.
Oh, you know what?
I
should know better. I literally saw Cashmere over at Hula's house paste together Brighter Days, the underground goodie mix. He was like, he had to do it precisely because if you mess it up, it's a done deal. You can't get it back. He was like slicing and paste, but he's a genius when it comes to engineering and stuff like that.
This is really firsthand stories from one of the artists working with an incredible producer and performer, Mr. Cashmere Green Velvet, aka Curtis Jones.
That's right.
and so we're really appreciative that you're here sharing these stories. But I think one of the biggest questions we have is what's next for Dajay? Because we want more.
You know what?
Is what everybody says when I even mention.
We are actually in the studio. We've been, because he travels so much, you know, so I just have to pinpoint a day down where we can get together, one day out the week to get together and come up with something different, a new source of some house music. Yeah.
So I want to go back to this actually lends itself to the discussion about have you been able to, you know, earn a decent living as this incredible artist and performer, or are you, you know, mixing it up to?
I have a job. I'm a caregiver. I'm gonna just keep it real. I take care of my mama.
All right,
I love my mama. Okay?
Power to the caregivers.
Yes, indeed, I love my mama. But anyway, I can say back when we first started, wow, it was amazing. You know, these Casual Records was life. I mean, Brighter Days just went to a whole nother level. It was a bid war against Brighter Days. You had AMPM and Mercury Records battling it out. And
Bidding war.
And we ended up with nobody. We ended up with just Casual Records. And I kid you not, I would get a check every month. My biggest check for 1 month was $8,000. And I was freaking out. I was like, oh my God, they're going to think I did something crazy going to the bank to put it in the bank. I'll never forget that. It was like, oh, what am I going to do? But I still get residuals.
Excellent.
From my songs.
How did you know to get that deal in place to ensure that you were getting an earning on the
performance and writing? Well, that was all due to Curtis Jones again, you know, from the writing to the publishing. He was the one that enlightened me. I'm with ASCAP, you know, and is it all over my face? I didn't write Brighter Days. Well, I wish I would have. But like I said, those were just residuals from the collection, from the song itself. And I still get residuals from that still, too, you know. So just grateful, you know, very, very grateful. But You Got Me Up, Is It All Over My Face? I only have one album, okay?
Okay.
It's called Higher Power.
Yes.
It has all my songs on there, all of them, you know. So if you see, you better get it. That's all, because you'll be like, wow.
Say,
if you see it, get Higher Power.
Vintage House Show audience, get a copy. It should already be in your crate, digital or physical crate. Checking in with us has been Nakia Soul Cat, also friend of the Vintage House Show. She says, hey, hey.
Hi.
And certainly one of our great Chicago female DJ performers. And yes, one day we'll just say one of Chicago's great DJs. But March is Women's History Month, and we have celebrated it all month long. We're closing it out big with Miss Daje here live in studio. So thanks everyone who's tuned in. Certainly, if you have questions for Daje, drop them in the comments and we'll get those questions over to her, and she'll continue to share some amazing stories in response, I'm sure, to those questions. But I want to know and understand, your voice is an instrument. Do you play any other musical instruments yourself?
No.
No?
I wanted to play drums when I was a kid.
Okay.
And my mama bought me some cheap drums and I tore them apart. I didn't even get a chance to play them like I wanted to. You know, but I had a piano as well, but I just never didn't evolve in it like I should have. So, instrument, vocals.
It's never too late.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. You know, I have a Yamaha at home still sitting, collecting dust. So. But that's something I should really get into as I get older and retire soon. You know, you never know.
Okay. We're, again, we're hearing a lot of firsts and exclusives here on the Vintage House Show. Could retirement be imminent for Daje?
The old I
say it ain't so.
Well, I don't know. I'm like, I sometimes kind of, you know, because music has changed so much. And it's like, you know, and if somebody asks me one more time, are you his mom? Do I look that damn old? No, I'm sexy. Believe that. Yes, I get that a lot.
I'm a little perplexed. Only because, I mean, yes, from the 80s, I was there with you, and we were doing things like New Music Seminar. I remember we did a hospitality suite because we were working to get distribution deals for some of the independent labels, including Casual and Clubhouse and the Mirage Entertainment fam. Shout out to Gary Wallace, Rick Lenore, Larry Thompson, Wayne Bell with the Lazy Boy imprint. DJ Lil Jon had a release, and we all got together in this hotel suite and invited some of the international distributors to come to talk business. But we hit them hard with some performances in this, I don't know, the suite couldn't have been any more than 1,700 square feet. And we packed them in, and I don't know if you remember Ulysses. He was a performer on a record Lil Jon produced called, oh my gosh, why can't I remember it? Because it's late. But he played sax, and then you sang You Got Me Up in Brighter Days in this hotel suite and blew the doors open in this hotel suite. And I don't know which deals got closed that day, but I just know that that was such a memorable moment for me as a house music publicist. I had organized this group of labels to come together and try to get these deals sealed. And we just made magic because we had these live performances in place. And I'll never forget you blowing it out. You know, we had one speaker, a microphone, and we were playing the track in the background. And I know you've had a lot of adventures since then.
Yes.
So you may not remember that in the 90s.
Yes.
But that was certainly a great.
You know what? Honestly, I can't recall, but I know I did do it. Because you remember. I'm like, hey. But I've done stuff. Wow.
You've done a lot.
I've done a lot. I've been a lot of places. So grateful for. I still haven't been to Australia or Africa yet.
Okay.
Those are the only two places I still want to go to, you know, but other than I've been the first place I ever went overseas was Italy, and me and Cashmere, we were together for like 2 weeks, but when we got home, I said, don't call me, don't come our way, because we speak English, we didn't speak Italian, so don't, and believe me, he didn't call. As a matter of fact, his ex-girlfriend called, and he's like, he wanted to saw. I said, I was just playing. We was just playing. I don't know. I can always talk to him, but you know how you just was tired, you know. But he's one of the good guys, believe it or not, in the music industry. I'll never forget when Brighter Days came out.
Yes.
And I was over where my great aunts and we congregated on 62nd, right down the street where it was Inglewood High School. And he said, I got a check for you. I said, well, I'm with my family. He said, I'll bring it to you. I said, okay. He brought it. It was $300. I was like, wait. I was like, whoa, $300. Why did I do that? Because I've never got paid all the time I was singing, you know, with the bands I was with. This is the first time somebody ever paid me. And it was like, wow, this is a lot. But it got bigger, bigger, and big. So Brighter Days, thank you.
That's a testament to certainly Cashmere and his integrity, but it's also a uplifting story and encouraging, because very often people come on the show and they talk about not getting paid or not getting attribution, mm-hmm. or not being included in some of the shows and performances. And so is with any business, right? There's going to be a mix of ups and downs, and it's a roller coaster. But when you do get, you know, rewarded appropriately, right? You got to share that story. And so I'm glad you did.
That was my first check ever, $300. I'll never forget where I was. I was like hanging out with the family. He was like, but I got this. I guess it was just amazing to him too, because this is Casual Records. This is like the first song on Casual vocally, and I think it was, like I said, this was the song I was like, you know what, I'm done, I'm not singing anymore. But he came from out of nowhere and like, hey, can you sing this song? I'll never forget what he came over to my house. He had his little four track, and my mom made spaghetti, and you know, he was eating it. We got it together. I did some of the most amazing runs, you know. This was
give us an example.
It was a higher power felt thing, because he erased it. And he came back, hey, can you do those ones? I said, man, that was higher power working in me. I don't know what I was doing. And I'll never forget that, you know. So it was like, wow. But to lift me up when I'm down, pick me up off the ground. I'll never forget that too. In the studio playgrounds, we had to go way out, way, way out. I was like, he said, this is going to work. Trust me. It's going to be good. Trust me.
Those South Suburban studios.
I'm like, I don't know. I was just like, I don't know. But
hit
like
factors.
I said, that was the track that just, you know, actually the trance mix is where the need came from. That came from that. Like I said, this brother was just a magician when it came to real, real analogs, pasting stuff together. He was good at it. So if you ever listen to it, underground trance mix of Brighter Days, you'll hear the we need a brighter day. You'll hear it. That's where it come from.
You're sending the few hairs left on the back of my neck, making them stand right now. We are in studio with Dajay live. at the WNUR studios in Evanston, 89.3 FM and HD1. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Vintage House Show. We've got a ways to go, so don't go anywhere. Thanks to our producer in studio tonight, Ms. Chanel Chu, and our other Vintage House colleagues, my friends and family, Ms. Lauren Lowry, our executive producer, and my co-host, DJ Lori Branch. And we had a great show last week, again, talking about women in house music. And I had to bring in one of the most iconic women in house music tonight, Ms. Daje. So let's talk a little bit now about the men in your life of house music. You've talked a lot about Cash, aka Green Velvet. Talk about some of the other producers, remixers, DJs that have helped you in your musical journey.
Wow. It's not too many of them, but I can tell you, Hula and Fingers, hilarious, but great guys to work with, period. Wow, amazing as far as. And of course, there's also E Smooth, another great person to work with as far as musically and things like that. So, but along the way, I've met so many people. I kid you not, another story. Masters of Work, he said, hey, but I really wasn't into house music. So when I got introduced to house music, I would go and I just was about, I don't get it. And then one day, The Shelter, it hit me. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I will never forget that as long as I live. I was in The Shelter. We would go to Kaboom, China Club, Clubhouse, Generator. We were going everywhere. And I just was never, I could never get the beat. And then it finally said, just listen to the doom, 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 doom. And it hit me. And I was like, oh, it was The Shelter. Anybody know now, it's just condos over there now, but back in the day, wow.
And you're talking Shelter Chicago, because yeah, Shelter. There was a Shelter in
New
in
York.
York.
Well, anyway, yeah. Back to the story with Masters of Work. He said, hey, Masters of Work want to do a remix of Brighter Days. Who is that? He said, you kidding? I said, no. I said, nope. I didn't know anybody. I didn't know, but wow, amazing. From also, shout out to Maurice Joshua, Jerry Hunter, Honey Dijon. Congratulations, baby.
Grammys.
That is to the influence Chicago on, doing their thing. I love that. We getting it.
I've had a chance to certainly have, we've had all of those that you mentioned here on the Vintage House Show. I got to work early in my career with Hula and Fingers and Maurice Joshua. Those guys are great. E Smooth, he and I went to grade school together.
Okay.
And so this is a house community that is family in a lot of special ways. Honey Dijon did a show with Lori for Women's History Month last year.
Okay.
And so, yes, we are very proud of Honey Dijon and the Grammy win. I'm curious to know about.
Matter of fact, I forgot I did do. I'll take you there with Honey Dijon. We did a remake of that, and that was like maybe 2004.
We're gonna have to look that. We're gonna have to look that up. If there was someone that you haven't yet worked with that you would be interested in working with, who would that be?
Believe it or not, it's Black Coffee. I love a lot of his stuff. It's really, really good stuff.
And you have
and Chicago's home, I would say Maurice Joshua and Mike Dunn. I love me some Mike. Mike, be getting his stuff on.
Mike D.
Oh, yes, indeed. So, yes.
No, those are, you can't go wrong with any of those options. And if they're tuned in tonight, and even if they missed the live version of the show, they'll hear this, and your phone's probably going to start blowing up. Louis Green is checking in tonight, And he's giving a shout out to Dana Stovall Wendt. I don't know if you missed it earlier where Daje did shout out Dana and her contribution.
She's beautiful, beautiful people.
She beautiful is people. Indeed. And so we thank you, Louie, for checking in. If you have questions for Miss Daje, please drop them in the chat and we'll get those questions asked to her, and she will answer them in an amazing way. Joe Smith checking in saying, hello, Miss Daje.
Hey, hey.
He's in Richmond, Virginia, checking
okay.
in. And there is my executive producer, Lauren Lowry, checking in from somewhere in the world tonight. And we are, again, just thrilled to have Daje in studio. So with your picks of some of the people you'd like to work with that are, some were Chicago, one was a South African remixer, producer. Louis says his mom loves the song. She loves the song. So
thank you.
You're a multi-generational icon here.
You know what? I'm just grateful that, you know, I have to send a shout out to, why did I just forget his name? Oh, Chicago's own rapper. You know who I'm talking about. Oh, why am I forgetting your name? Well, he did the Sunday service, and he would play Brighter Days in the background.
Oh, Kanye West.
Thank you, Kanye West. I don't know why I couldn't think of his name. Sorry, Kanye, forgive me. But thank you, because it's like it's reunited, you know, that energy for the song. So I've been doing a lot of gigs lately, too, because of.
Shout out to Yay.
Yay. Yes, indeed.
Right. I, you know, I use this full name there, but he has been returned to just Yay.
That's another story, too.
Yeah.
Me, Dana, my brother. I can't think of the other young lady's name. Forgive me, please. One of them beautiful people, too. We went to see him Sunday service. It was raining, and baby, they played that song. Dana was like, we going up to that front stage. We going to get there. It's like, that's her. We never did get up there, though.
Wow.
But it was the point of it all. She really, really wanted them to know that Chicago's own. You're playing her song in the background. Everybody's like, what is that? This something different? Something? No. Brighter Days is 30 years old. Okay. 30.
And it's interesting to hear your perspective on how that made you feel. You felt that it re-energized interest in you as an artist and the song. Some might have said, well, he was co-opting the song when he played it for Sunday Sermon, but you have a different perspective.
Yeah, it opened doors. You know, he could have just said, you know what, I'm just, you know, but it opened doors. It really did, you know, and it made people want to go, hey, who is that? I want to know, you know, because it's, well, funny enough, we did that first show. He said, can you sing this? I said, man, I can sing anything. Just give it here. Oh, and that's when the need. He was looking at me like, for real? But I'll never forget me and Braxton Hall, New York City.
My man Braxton.
Oh my goodness, I can't think of the name of it, but Timmy Regifer, I do believe, was DJ. He never lets anyone in the box, DJ booth. Let me in the box that day, but I went. I'll never forget. We did the Brighter Days, and then the left. Baby, those people stood there and looked at me like, all I know, next thing I know, somebody throwing a t-shirt at me like, here. And that was history for me, because I was like, wow, all I know is when we left the club, it was the sun was up.
So speaking of throwing you t-shirts, as we close out Women's History Month, I'm honored to bestow on Miss Daje one of the Vintage House Chicago's podcast t-shirts, because you've been an icon, you continue to be an icon and contributor, and we are grateful and appreciative of you. And we love Daje, And so please do wear that.
We love you too, Megan. You doing the thing vintage. This is so
great pride. I'm humbled, and my heart is warm. One question that has popped up as we begin to close out for the next Street Beat show. You named your top five R&B female musical inspirations. Can you name your top five, top three house music inspirations?
Well, or
those that you love and appreciate?
Lolita Holloway is always going to be number one queen to me. Donna Summers, yeah, she gets her kudos too, you know. And, why I can't call her that? It's not over. You know, I need you. I want you every day of my, every day. That came from that. It derived from that particular, you know. What is her name? Rochelle Fleming,
the first choice.
First choice, yes. Right. You know, definitely.
So some would say they're, you know, disco and house music, close sister-brother relationship. Some would say Lolita and Rochelle sit on that disco side. But we're not counting, right? We're not slicing and dicing tonight because Daje has declared Rochelle.
What about, okay, Martha Washington, okay? Martha. Martha got to be in there too. Martha Washington.
Much respect to Martha.
Yes, indeed.
Donna Summer, Rochelle, and Lolita Holloway. Look, Daje, you have so many stories left to share, and I want to give a shout out. I think you spent some time with Maurice Joshua on everything about house on his show. We're thrilled that you came and shared some stories with us here on the Vintage House Show. We're going to go ahead and wrap up, but wanted to ask you, you know, as you end this interview, what is it that you hope people take away from the music of 30 years ago, as well as the music of today?
Can we just start loving, living, and laughing? House music is about love. You don't hear people going out fighting one another in a house set. Okay, you don't. All you hear is oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that, and stuff like that. Can we just start loving, living, and being happy with one another? That's what house means to me. Honestly, it does, you know. House is so, when it comes to musically, it just opens up your mind and make you feel good, not, you know, want to beat up or mean mug somebody. So that's my thought on that, you know, honestly.
I'm going to do something here as we close out. I'm going to hug this woman. It has been such an amazing evening. We got started a little late, but we got right into it. You've been listening to the Vintage House Show with your host, your main man, Mega, and special guest, Daje, icon, legend, house music impresario. And we hope to have her back again. And she's going to continue to keep us posted on what's next for her.
Show, April 29th. Is with Cash at the Salt Shed. Awesome. I got some more gigs since the 5th.
Where can they follow you on social?
You know what?
We're going to have to work on that.
Daje on Instagram. Okay. That's who I'm on that, Twitter, and TikTok. Facebook, I really never been a Facebook fan, but, you know, I'm bad. I don't check my page like I should, you know. But other than, that's how you can find out things from me.
So April 12th, check her out.
No, April 12th. It's April 29th.
April 29th. I stand corrected.
Mike Dunn.
We'll post
myself,
it.
Claude Von Stroke, Green Velvet. Yeah, Mike Dunn.
That'll be a hot show. We'll post it on the Vintage House Show's socials as well. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Remember, we're here every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Central to 11. Next up is
DJ
1220 for Street Beat. We are WNUR 89.3 FM and HD1, Evanston, Chicago. Your main man, Mega, signing off. And DJ 1220 coming up next here on WNUR. Peace.
All right.
The after show, 30 seconds. We're out. Thanks, everyone who's tuned in online. Louis Green, the Kia Soul Cat. My man from Virginia, Joe Smith. We are going to be back on next Wednesday. So please mark the calendar and tune in. Everyone be safe. Good night.
Watch those mates, April. May 5th. No, April 29th is the next one, though, that I know. Let me look at my phone.